Hi, I'm Bob Acton, the host of Color and Ceramics Podcast. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to Nicole Winblad, the creative force behind the Calgary Art Market. Most episodes, we dive into conversations with ceramic artists, exploring their work, their journeys, and the creative spark that drives them. And we'll continue to do that for sure. But today, I wanted to bring you a different perspective, one from the other side of the table. Nicole isn't just curating a show, she's shaping opportunities for artists like you. As someone who runs one of the most respected art markets in Alberta, she understands what makes artists stand out, what helps them succeed, and yes, what can hold them back. She and her family have many years of experience operating this show, so she has great wisdom for artists and makers of all sorts. In this conversation, you'll hear what Nicole looks for when selecting artists, how she evaluates applications, and the do's and don'ts every artist should know when they're trying to secure a spot in a major show. If you're looking to grow your creative business and present your work with confidence, this episode will give you valuable insights into how to do it. And if you're in town during the show on November 20th to 23rd, 2025, check our Instagram page as we are giving away tickets and tote bags to the show. So let's dive in and hear directly from Nicole. Nicole, thank you so much for joining the Color and Ceramics podcast today. We are really excited about having you on board to talk about something very different than we usually talk about. Typically, our podcast has been interviewing artists, ceramic artists, and talking about their work. But this time we're talking with you, and you are basically a gallery owner, a show owner. And so you are selecting artists to be in your show. And that's what we're going to chat about today. So welcome aboard.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you. And thank you for asking for me to be on your show. I don't get to talk about what I do and the details very often. So it's nice that you would like to hear.
Yes, absolutely. Well, in my background, I've run shows. And so I know how complicated it can be, how many details you have to pay attention to. And it seems like you have to be going in 50 directions all at once as the show gets closer and closer. And so I think it would be super helpful for people who are applying to your show or just coming to the show to really understand some of the things that go on behind the show. And in particular, a little bit about what artists should be doing to appeal to you. So, but I wonder if you could give people a little bit of detail about the show, like how long it's been running, that sort of a thing.
Sure. So Art Market has been running for 39 years. So we are so excited to celebrate our 40th next year. We have been 39 years at the Calgary TELUS Convention Center. So we are actually their longest standing client, have not missed a year except for COVID. So we celebrated a little bit of that on their 50th last year, which is a great collaboration and really a testimony to what one of my favorites, collaborated art, but a great community partnership. So we really pride ourselves on that. We are considered a family-based business, and the convention center is part of our family. So I think it's really important to note that right off the bat. We are not a large conglomerate. We are not owned by several people. I am the director and the producer solely and owner of Art Market. And there was one person prior to me. So we've only been two individuals that have run this show. And if you look at all of those years and every year it's run, you both see flecks of our personality everywhere. Because neither one of us do this for a job, or did it. Marlene, my successor, but she never did it for a job. And those of us that have taken the show over, we do it to actually put ourselves in a place in Canada. We love it. We do it from our heart, our gut, everything else. So curating the show is just not only logistics, time frames, contracts, but it's even more than that. It is relationships, relationship building, it's transformation of energy. It's all sorts of that. And it really has to be that because art is just not a thing. It's not something that we get our running shoes on, walk across the street, get in a lineup, pay with our money, and come back. And we need those things for survival in our life, but art is an expression of oneself. And you know yourself, you lay it all on the table. And then somebody walks by your table and smiles. And my job is to merge those two, is for somebody to walk by your table and double take and say, "Whoa, wait a minute. First of all, stunning. Second of all, how did you do it? Third of all, by the time you have explained how to do it, the person is almost falling in love with your journey, your mind." And that is my job. That has always been Art Market's job, is to merge those two, the client or the customer with the artisan. So going back 39 years, that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, very good. It's a beautiful show. And just to let people know, I'm in that show, and that's how you and I got connected. It has a certain energy about it, that show, compared to other shows that I've been at. That really does feel a bit like family when you're there. You get to know the same people after being there a couple of years, and the clients, customers are coming back year after year. I know some mornings before the doors open, there's a big lineup out for people to, as they want to get in there first thing.
I love those eager customers, and I tell people, some of my friends, family, people on the street, "Oh, when's the best time to come?" I said, "Well, listen, if you want the pick, if you want the cream of the crop, you want the first, you see it first, you better
Sure.
come Thursday morning."
Absolutely. Hey, Nicole, could you describe what's in the show in terms of the kinds of artists, the kind of craft that you look for and bring into the show that fits that notion that you want to drive forward around energy and journey and so on?
Well, we have, I think, 11 or 12 categories, and there's also a category called one, which is one of things you really don't see, and there's really only one artist on the show floor. Art Market typically has between 200 and 212 artisans each year. 212 artisans, believe it or not, is a very busy, full show. Six less artisans, seven less artisans makes the dynamics a little bit more softer and easier. I find bigger booths gives customers more time to look and whatnot. And it depends on the category, the genre within that category, the medium that they work with within that category. But we have, like your category is, we just call it pottery. And that can consist of ceramicists, sculptures, sculpture art. There is actually wall art within pottery. So people are doing clay things that hang on walls. There's different kinds of pottery. There's wheel throwing, sgraffito. We had somebody that did kintsugi. That's the broken ceramic with gold dust, putting it back together, which is extremely, extremely hard and takes quite a long time, I'm sure, as you know. We have casting and all of that stuff, but that's just in pottery. And then we have fashion, some of the top fashion designers in Canada where they're not just designing, they are on the sewing machine. They are painting on their clothing. They are customizing on the spot. And we have Home Decor, a couple that makes beautiful woodworking benches and chairs. And the wife actually makes lampshades, if you can believe it or not. And then lots of home decor pillows. People will do sewing or stitching or lots of different kinds of fabric making, stretching. I'm sorry, something is just skipping my mind there, but we have leather. That's leather garments. We've even had leather wall art. We have an artist that works in the medium of wood, stone, and stainless steel, all in one piece. So that's sculpture art. So many different categories, but within those categories, it can just blow up. So we really try to have one of every kind of artist on the show floor, even though they will belong to a category, if that makes
Yeah, I
sense.
know when I've wandered around and seen many painters, for example, there's various types of painters. Obviously, there's the standard kind of oil and acrylic, but I think it was last year there was somebody doing charcoal, and she was actually drawing with charcoal right in her booth. And a couple of people came over to me and were telling me about her booth because they were excited about seeing her work and look at how dirty her hands get as she works with the charcoal.
You're exactly right. And there was an artist that works in chalk. So she was shading in chalk. We have a lot of painters, and my thing is I tell them, if you're going to paint on canvas, what are you going to paint? Are you going to paint an Alberta landscape because it's been done? Are you going to paint a grain elevator because we've seen it before? Are you, you know, so that's part of my job is how does that painter stand out? Are you two-dimensional, three, four-dimensional? How are you animals? Are you going out to we don't have a lot of abstract, but there is abstract. There's acrylic and oils, and so I really, really look for a lot of things in terms of painting, and that is color palette, because to the customer, if you walk down the aisle and you're seeing the same color palette, that is not doing any justifying any artist. It's like I see it. Well, I'm roses and she's petunias. It's like, well, to a customer, you know, it's a, you know, oh, I'm wildlife and I'm this, but you have the exact same colors. So I really try to look for diversity that way, like when you say you're in painting. And then we have a carver that carves absolutely extraordinary wall pieces. I'm a big fan of him. I'm not sure if I should mention any names. Do I mention names?
That's okay. That's okay. I
Okay.
mean, we've talked about a variety, I guess, that you have at the show, and that you try to have unique artists, unique from each other, so that they're not the same sort of thing side by side.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about, because I'm sure you have lots of artists applying for the show, how do you go about selecting artists?
It's a hard job, Bob.
Yeah, I bet.
It's a really hard job because no one person has bad art. You know, even so, Art Market prides themselves on having the highest amount of fine crafted, high manipulation into craft. And I could say the same thing into art. So we have the highest, most amazing, top-notch crafters and artisans to fine art. Fine art into a painting where you walk by and you think it's a photograph. Outstanding pieces that it's so amazing. But then there's high-end crafters. You know, I consider myself a crafter. I'm a crocheter, most definitely not a high-end crocheter, but I'm not bad at it, but because actually I don't really have what I make, my medium on the show floor. So if somebody had applied making, I make handbags, crochet handbags and backpacks. We don't currently have that on the show floor. No one's applied. So it is an art. To me, it is a craft. But I am looking for somebody to do that kind of thing. Jewelry and wall art are our probably our toughest categories to get into. We can receive up to 70 applications in jewelry category alone. And I actually cut that category last year. People don't realize it, but I guess I just publicly said it. For the reason of if you go to any art craft market, farmers market, it is predominantly jewelry. And from a customer's eye, who do you pick? How do you pick? It all looks exquisite. It all looks lovely. It all looks amazing. There are fads, there are trends, and yes, some jewelers need to follow that, I guess. And then there's one of a kind jewelry, which becomes expensive. So is that for the everyday consumer? It's my job, again, sticking with the jewelry category, to make sure there's all levels of that jewelry on the show floor. So there's a financial component. Can I afford a $50 pair of handmade earrings? Is it acceptable to ask an artist to make a $50 pair of earrings? Or is that a no-no? It's like, why does a mug cost $100? Well, it's 25 years of making it. It's the kiln, it's the sgraffito, it's the everything. It is actually more than $100 when it comes down to it. But going back to the jewelry category, if we had 25 jewelers out of 204 people, we have one leather jeweler. We have a nickel-free jeweler. We have a jeweler that works just in gold alone. We have we it's hard for us to do gemstone jewelry because we have jewelers that blow their own glass beads, hand manipulate their own gemstones, drill their own gemstones. So to go and just buy something, a lot of people say, "Oh, I've traveled all over the world and I've acquired these beautiful gemstones and I organize them in a beautiful fashion." And it's that is a designer. Like you have a component of high-end manipulation into that product. But putting that beside somebody that cultivated the gemstone, that carved the gemstone, blew the glass bead. It's how, let's go back to pricing, do you get the consumer to understand that difference? So,
So it sounds like to me you've got a few criteria you're looking at when somebody applies. So you're looking at things like type of art or craft, ceramics, painting, jewelry. You only have 204 slots that you have to fit all of these different people into. So you're looking
right.
at type, you're looking at pricing too. It sounds like that when the artist submits their work, they submit the kind of prices they would charge, and so you're looking for a range of prices because at the show there are some very expensive bits of art and some much more accessible types of art, and so that's one thing you're looking for. And you've used the word manipulation. I guess you mean how much do I put my fingers on the piece, right?
Exactly.
And so you like artists that put their fingers on the work as opposed to maybe just putting things together, I guess,
Yeah.
if I think of it that way.
Exactly. And my job is if it sounds terrible, but it is something how I measure. If I can do it, it's hard for me to sell it. meaning that's what everybody's going to say. Oh, I can do that. And then, so how do I take that question away from the consumer? So it's, there's not a lot I can do, but there's lots I can do. And the idea is that you can't do what's on art market show floor for all of the reasons: timing, money, supplies, know-how, and artistic, bringing it all together, that you simply can't unless you're going down a whole other path personally and education and whatnot. But those kind of things are not all we look for, because I have hundreds of applications of all people that are art market worthy. And how do I fit them into the show? And normally, if all goes well with our relationship, Bob, this year, if all goes well with our relationship at Art Market and you enjoy yourself, and I normally invite you back. Your move out was great, your show was great, we had a great working relationship. I normally send you a card that says, listen, it's time to apply back. You wouldn't get that card if we had a breakdown in our relationship, meaning, I couldn't help you get to where you wanted to at Art Market, and vice versa. You're not helping yourself, or you're not helping your fellow artisans, or you're not helping me get you to where you want to go in Art Market. So, but going back to how I pick, so normally we get 75% return of artisans that come back, and they deem the booth fee, the 4 or 5 days to move in and move out, the customers, everything, it was worth their while to try it another year, which is great. They're building clientele. They understand and like the show, and it's a great working relationship. So 75% of those 204 people come back. And then that leaves 25%, so about 50 slots open for Art Market, which I have to fill every year. And I draw from the applications are waitlist. And then I look for the loophole that I don't have. So, if it's in your medium, maybe there's somebody doing large scale sculpture art, which, hint, I don't have. So most definitely, a lot of people say I can never get in a show. I'm like, your category is constantly full. Your category, there's a 2 year wait list. And I would like to get that jeweler that has applied 3 times into Art Market that I can't get in because she's a higher end, or a lot of hands-on manipulation, fine jeweler, but I already have 3 of them that have come back. And to add a fourth kind of floods that category and it degrades the show.
Hey, now,
So,
can I ask you a question about quality? Because I
yeah.
think that's in the back of my mind. Because I think sometimes when I go to shows, I'm looking at pieces, but it doesn't matter what the medium is, and I'm thinking about the quality of work, which is super subjective, maybe not completely subjective, but close. And so, how do you deal with quality when you're looking at artists in general?
I normally, so a lot of Art Market is done online, but I normally travel. I will travel the country looking for artisans and scouting out original work. So I learn a lot. I do get conversations with the artisans, and I can pick up and tell the work. And if somebody requests it, I will go to them. Someone said, I'm a jeweler, I've applied 3 times, I don't know how to get in. And I said, from what you send me, this is what I see. And she's like, well, it's not like that at all. And I said, oh, well, invite me into your studio. So 2 months later, I arrived at her door in her studio and I said, take me for a journey. And she did. And she says, oh, these pieces, they're very special to me. I said, so they're not for sale? She says, oh, they're for sale. And I said, well, how are they going to be sold in a studio? I said, Art Market is a great place for you to display that art, and you display your journey with that. So it kind of unfolded that way. But I don't always look at just The manipulation, hands-on manipulation. It's very, very important. And I always say we have to fill the room with like-minded people, meaning they all have the intent to spill their guts out in their work and receive money and pride in return, and gratification in return. That is a like-minded person. So one of the first things I look for in accepting an artist into art market is market saturation. So if you are in Calgary, you've done 10 shows all year, what are you bringing to the table to art market? You're bringing people that can see you next weekend. That you're, like what does that mean? And there's nothing wrong with market saturation, but also how fast and quick are you doing your craft? Is it something that you're peeling out? Are you now into production? And if you are, I'm so happy and proud that you got your business that way. But now you are going to the step to a mall or something bigger than an art and craft market. A couple of people last year, Bob, got kicked out because they started selling on Amazon. And some of those people were perplexed of why they were getting kicked out of the show. And I said, you have all the people's audience in Amazon. Amazon is worldwide now. And I said, I cannot, Art Market cannot compete with the promotional advertising of getting the word out. And I said, you have to pick and choose. And you have to also think that is a reflection on your neighbor. So Bob Acton, who's in his studio, lots of hands-on manipulation, and you're into a production situation where you're selling on Amazon, you're actually flipping off Bob there, like degrading his work, we just can't have that on the show floor. We're all equal partnership there. And I also really look for artisans that advocate for themselves. You pay Art Market money and you come and you have a booth and you have advertising, you have all of this. And not a lot of people know either, Bob, that 97% of your funds that you pay Art Market go to running the show. People are like, what? And I said, no. This is the budget. That's why I say if you've got an idea of how we should do something different, I'm like, technically, you guys are kind of running the show. I'm just the ringmaster, right? But I want you as an artist, let's say, to advocate for yourself. How is your social media? I've had artisans apply 3 years in a row with the same pictures. Like, there is no growth there. Going back, how many shows are you doing in the city? What is your production? A lot of painters apply. Original art and production. I have everybody's production numbers in my file. If it's over a certain amount, I'm like, I'm sorry, you can bring one to, let's say, 100 in production, and that's it. Everything else has to stay home. Original art must be at Art Market, has to be for sale. If you don't want to sell it, then
Don't
this
bring
is
it.
not the show for you.
So what I hear you talking about is, in a very general way, you're looking for artists to help the show be special, and the artist's work must be special. I mean, that's kind of vague, I guess, in some ways. But I feel like in our conversation here, that's what you're saying. And when I'm at the show, I get that. When I'm walking around, I would say that, well, that's it's not in my genre, in my area, but it's special. Right, it's beautiful work. Could we now get a little bit more specific about ceramic artists? Because this podcast is for ceramic artists, and I think they would have got a lot out of what you've talked about already. And to be honest with you, I can't remember how many ceramic artists were at the show, but there's a handful, right? Some people doing functional work, and how, when you look at ceramic art, is there anything special aside from what we've talked about already that would be a bit different? That there's some advice that you would give ceramic artists when they're applying to the show?
When I look at our roster for this year. Again, there is diversity in everything on that show floor, from color to shape to size. Again, demonstrating on the spot to genre, like what kind of casting, wheel throwing. Again, we've got people doing Sgraffito on where you're carving, actually. We're doing that. So I look, a lot of it is I have to be my target audience. So I am the customer shopping when artisans are applying to the show, and even pottery, which actually last year hit to a full category. Every year it fills out, it sells out that category. I look for things that make me understand that category. I'm a customer. Is it something I'm going to put on my mantle, and what does it give to me? Is it functional? Can I drink out of it? What does it say? How does it feel in my hands? We have a potter who's a very large scale vessel, who will be throwing live actually at the show this year. That is a 2, 3, 4 part series. For him, that it's just not done in a day kind of thing. Same as you, Bob, right? I look for functionality, art, meaning how is it going to fit in someone's everyday life? I'm going to ask this certain clientele to come to the show, and how are you, Bob, as a ceramist, going to talk to that person through your art? So it's just a little bit more than, oh yeah, you fill a booth. It's never that. I would rather put a Christmas tree in chairs than just have a booth filler. For those ceramists out there,
Hey, let me stop you for 2 seconds. How do you know that though? How do you know? So I get what you mean that like when I'm in the booth and people are coming in, they're asking me how I do it, why do I do it? And so I get a chance to have conversations with people. Actually, somebody just arrived in my studio from last year's show who called me and said, you remember I talked with you at the show last year? And I said, oh, I remember you. And I remembered the little story that she and I talked about in the booth, which she said, wow, do you have a good memory? Right. But I think that's relationship building. Whereas other, I guess, ceramic artists I see sometimes just sitting and not developing that interpersonal relationship with somebody who might be a customer. Might be a customer at that moment, or maybe a year later, like the woman did a couple of weeks ago. So that's what I hear you saying, right? How do you know that, though, if you're d deciding all through an online process?
Well, again, normally I have seen this person, or I've actually scouted them, whether I've flown to Toronto to, I call it swagging, socializing with a goal. And so whether I'm at another show and I'm looking, a lot of artisans will recommend artisans, and I know exactly what's on the show floor every single year. So if I see something I haven't seen, it's home right in there. Also through social media. So we have a social media director who, that is the language, I guess, how we talk to each other or scout for each other. And she becomes these people's best friend. They know her more than they know me, and I never think that I'm the face of Art Market. I have 204 faces of Art Market. I am definitely not the face of Art Market. But Bob, it does make me want to say this. I have so many applications on my desk, and I can only fit so many into the show. And it's almost like we have enough to do another show, which I will not do. Art Market is the only one-hit wonder for me every single year. And I travel, and it's gotten to the point where artisans from other shows say, I know who you are. You're Nicole from Art Market. Oh, I should really apply to that show. Oh my goodness, how do I get into Art Market? Oh my goodness, you guys have curated the best show in the country. I have been getting that definitely, most definitely, all year, just pounding in my head. And I said to myself, okay, I think Art Market is the best show in the country. I am getting everything out there. People that don't even know me, have never done our show, saying we're the best. Artisans saying, I have a question, I answer it. You guys are the best curated art and craft show on the planet. I get that all the time. And so the question for this year is, how do I tell Calgary you have the best of the best in artisans under one roof? Come. I don't even know how to invite you anymore. I cannot tell you the explosion of creativity under one roof. So now let's go. How do I pick an artisan? So I better make sure that there's not 18 painters with the same medium, the same genre, the same color. That all has to be diverse. And I wouldn't do that to you, Bob. I wouldn't get another three artists of your caliber doing almost the exact same thing in one room, even though I can put you 9 rows apart. It's too confusing to the customers. How do they pick, right? And it also it you lose those relationships. And it is really important, again, going back to picking an artist, how much do they advocate for themselves? Because I shout out to Calgary, and you are the star of this show, Bob. So I need you to shout out to Calgary. Come see, and you know what? Ask me any question, because I definitely have an answer for you.
Now, so one of the things that I hear you talking about are making your work special, that I as an artist need to make sure that I'm doing good work, and that it needs to be a little different, not just the same as everybody else. It needs to be different, needs to be high quality. I need to be social in my social media work. I need to be engaging on the floor when I'm at the show, all those things. So, what red flags do you look for that might help you reject an application? Aside from the category's full, is there anything that you could give some advice to people to say, oh, you should never do that?
First of all, fill out your application properly.
It's amazing, though, how important that stuff is. You know, like if somebody wants you to do A, B, and C, and you do A, B, and F, like that's a red flag right off the bat.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't mind a lot of people, and they should, that are applying in a category that's always saturated at any art and craft show. Again, I'm not picking on jewelry, but it is. They tell me the journey. I was a pilot. I lost my sight, and so now I do this, and that will help me pick over someone else, because my job is to sell the journey. My job is to sell the artisan. So I can sell that journey. So when if you apply and your application is not filled out to anything, then you just are another jeweler. You're just another jeweler. I cannot tell you're anything special. One thing that you should not do is not pay your bill. That is, I think a lot of people, well, that's not true, because it's ju just me. There's flexibility clauses. Life gets messy, and there's understandability. But believe it or not, there's a lot of beautiful artisans, whether they're high fine art or fine craft, whatever it is, that just blow off actually paying for their booth.
Get out, really?
And if your show's not full, If you jump online at certain times of the year, even 2 months out of a show, a lot of art and craft shows are still looking for artisans. Art Market sells out in 1 month. And although our application is open for 3 months, which allows us to really have a good look and choose, we basically sell out in 1 month. So it's if you don't pay, then I can't help you. The other thing is,
That's a business
it's a
mindset, like filling out the application correctly, paying your bills. Oh, and I think lots of artists
yeah.
in this world, like I spent a lot of time working with musicians and people in the theater and so on. So
Right.
in that venue,
Right.
many folks don't seem to have that business angle or a business set of skills that really help with that. Do you
Right.
notice that?
I do. And I think I call it, I don't like to get caught with my pants down. That's the saying. If I can't answer a question, that's just a hard no for me. I have an answer to every question. That means I have to know a lot of things about you, Bob. And I do figure that out through social media, through your website and whatnot. So I have to know everything about you. I have to know how to defend you. Should arrows d to defend you, should arrows come casting over us? And that's happened before. So it also, like I've had potters that do not throw their pottery. They buy it blank and then they actually just paint, right? So if you don't divulge that information, then there was one artisan that did that, and they left Made in China stickers on the bottom of their cups. Well, they lasted 1 day. They got dismissed in Christmas trees and what's it called? Because the actual fact is you can pick them off, and fudge your way through it. But the fact that you didn't pick them off, and I knew that they bought the pottery and that their art was in the painting on the mug. I knew that. It was part of the difference in that category, right? But the fact that they were offshore bought was a huge no-no. I'm sure there's an element to cheating into getting into shows like that. And I've seen it and I've discovered it and I've approached people with it. But if there is an answer to your cheating, in other words, I buy them here, I buy them. Now I'm better at it. Where do you get your mugs made? And it's like, I get them made in Canada. Great. We need to know that company's name because when someone asks, we need to provide them with the proper answer. So, not divulging things. And I would have to say, Bob, when I think of what not to do or what not to do with Art Market, it's really just spreading yourself thin and oversaturation of the market. Like, really. There's nothing in the actual manipulation of the work that would make me say no. You know what I mean? Like, there's even people that grab pieces from all over the world and make their art into one. So it's like, I really don't think there's any reason why I would say no other than cheating. Not paying for your booth, not advocating for yourself.
So good business skills and have some integrity, really,
Yes,
are the two things, right?
and I've had people, sorry, that even personally got themselves into a pickle where it has nothing to do with their work, has nothing to do with Art Market, and that I've had to advocate for them because the word Art Market got into the mix, so I have to excuse that company away from the personal things. So, like, just lay it on the table when you apply.
One of the bits of advice that I received that I found really helpful was to have another person with a different set of eyes review things for you. So if it's my first application with you guys, to have another person, doesn't have to be an artist. In fact, sometimes that can be an advantage to have maybe a business person who's not your husband or wife, because they might not say what needs to be said, to have a look at your application, because sometimes you can help the person, their language isn't or their written language isn't as clear as it could be, or they might have missed the whole story journey side in the application, and they're so focused on the stuff they're making that that outside advice can really be helpful.
I think also in terms of winning the position of that booth, one of those 50 booths is important. But yeah, there's language barriers, there's all sorts of stuff. People type too fast and you wonder, well, what happened here? But the proof is in the pudding. The proof is when I go onto your website, when I jump onto your socials. What are you doing? Where have you been? Where can I find you to look for myself? Where can I send somebody and say, can you go and pick this up? And I want you to do this or do that. Or here's $100, go buy it and mail it to me. So I can weed and feed through those. I think the most thing that I look for is honesty. Please contact me if you need more information, because I will. I'll pick up the phone. And that's a good indicator for the applicant. If they put that and the promoter does not call them, do they really want to do that show? Is that the right show for them? Because that's another thing that I get is, I can't believe you're calling me, and like, your number's there. You asked me to, because I do have questions. How much is your production? How are you actually casting? What is this word? I am not familiar with this technique. Take me down your road. And also, as you know, we have our own videographer. So one of the questions on the application is, can we come into your studio? And some people say no, and that is perfectly fine, absolutely. But then you can actually tell why they said no when you keep reading the application. It just pops right out. Oh, I understand why you said no. Whereas the people that say yes are really just want to get their work out there. They give me some advice of how I should come to the show. Give me advice. How do you think I should display? Booth display is everything. Lighting at Art Market is everything, right? So it's a two-way street on that question there.
And I think that's true, because I was recently in a show this summer out on the West Coast, and it wasn't juried in the style that I thought it that they led me to believe it should be. And so there were other vendors at the show that I went, how did you get in here? And so it's incumbent upon us as artists to be judging the show that we're applying to. So it's not just any old show I'm going to apply to. There's a few in the province that I live in the state, if you're from the states that I live in. And I've gone to all of the shows, and I go, this is a nice show, but I don't think it's for me. And that's important to do that, I think.
Absolutely. And it's a communication with your show promoter, and ask, most definitely ask your promoter any questions that you need in order to have a successful show. It only makes sense that they call you back, because it's less babysitting for me if we can touch base on all of those 10 questions a month before the show and not answer them at the show. That makes my job really, really easy.
And that is a key thing, right? I mean, I may have said already, I know I've said it to you, that I've run conferences and shows and so on. And so I know the kind of hard work and detail work that goes into making a successful show. And so I always think that partly it's my job to make you successful, just as if your job is to help me be successful. And so that takes a two-way conversation. What is it that I can do that can help you?
Well, I'll tell you what. Every artisan gets 10 free tickets. You're supposed to give them
Give them
away.
away.
And that goes back to my mission is how do I tell Calgary that we're the Guggenheim of Alberta? How do we tell that we're the art district right there in Calgary under one roof at the convention center? How do I tell them, I try not to do some traditional things that other shows do. In other words, they bring in a fashion show, which I don't do because it takes away from the selling. The 20 minutes that the fashion show going, there are no e-commerce going at all. Everybody's stopping and looking. And we as people, are we looking at the fashion? Or are we looking at beauty? Are we listening to the music? What are we actually doing? So it's really just a, I don't know, an attention grabber, not that it's wrong or right or good or bad, but I don't do things like that. But I do things like bands. We have live bands, and those are in the pre-function space. So where in the city can you get for your ticket price? Three live bands, you get a free re-entry pass, right? So I sell all of this content that really has nothing to do with the artisans. And so when they get into the building, they go, because only in the exhibition hall are artisans. There's no charities, there's no bands, there is no nothing. It is strictly just the artisans in the exhibition hall. You pay to be there, I want you to be there. And the gasps that I get, the oh my goodness, and the da 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 da. So it is a collaborated effort between you and me that we have to tell Calgary, it's you that I'm selling. I am selling 204 of you. And so I need that person on the other side, the artisan, to say, hey, I'm worth it and I'm gonna be here. And this is where you want to be because we're all worth it and we're all going to be here. And that goes to all the other things that I said for the last throughout our conversation was saturation of the market. Have you done 10 shows in Calgary? How many shows are you doing in the fall? How many booths do you have? What does it look like? And if you can produce enough for 10 shows, then you are a big company.
Absolutely. It does take time to make these things.
It does.
And one of the things that I'm doing this year that I haven't told you about is I'm in a couple of little shows and I'm taking different types of items to each show because I think then that helps differentiate each show. Like I'm not doing the same thing at each show, right? And so therefore if they come to art market, they're going to see different types of things than if they come to something else.
And that's brilliant. That's really brilliant. And you would use us and the show promoter saying, "Hey, I've got something new. I want to try something new." And most definitely, I am the show to try those things out. I love when people and artists do things that they've never done before. I'm having an artist getting, he's ordered couches. He's taken out a huge booth. He's ordered couches. He's a photographer. Photography is really hard to sell, especially if it's of an animal that you've seen all the time. So he's getting couches, and you sit on his couch, and he's going to tell you a story, and you're going to wake up, and then it's going to be right then and there, like the elephant that you saw. And then he's going to switch the picture out, meaning you don't like elephants? What about raccoons over top of your mantle? And so you start to fall in love with his visual art and how he captivated that picture. A jeweler, she brought couches in and she said, "Sit down. My jewelry's expensive. You shouldn't be spending this much money in about 3 minutes. You should try them all on. You should understand how I made this. I made this one on this day. This is how I felt. This is the journey throughout this ring." And all of a sudden, that ring becomes priceless, right?
So I hear you talking about for artists is try to tell you about their willingness to share their story and to help the customer, potential customer, engage with their story so that you put the two together in a way.
Right. Think outside of the box. And I love the fact that absolutely, I want you to be successful, an artist to be successful in Calgary, in their city, and to travel as well. And I love the idea of curtailing, because we all have different audiences. There's several shows in Calgary that curtail to a little bit more of a younger audience. They have different eye candies. I have jazz bands, they have rock and roll bands and school choirs, which are adorable. And some people have petting animals and outdoor aspects as well as indoor aspects. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a whole different crowd as well. So you're really smart to diversify the shows that you do and bring in different things for different clientele. And then, but in our market, Bob, if you wanted to do some live action in
I'm going to this year. I'm going to this year. I haven't figured out how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be doing something for sure. Hey, I've had you for an hour here, and I don't want to take up too much of your time. I appreciate immensely the ideas and thoughts that you've had for artists. Is there anything else that you think's that would be super important for an artist to understand that we have not touched on?
I think that there's some shy people out there and it's hard. I try to talk within the universities and to the young kids. I try to employ the young kids of art and art studios and that are in art programs so they understand a little bit more of the business side of how they can become a professional artist. I know a lot of people on the planet don't understand that this is their entire job. Some people, they are a professional artisan. And I think to have the confidence in yourself and the confidence in your work is the most important. And putting it on paper and putting it on a bench or a table and offering it up to the public requires confidence and, yes, a little bit of business sense. And I encourage everybody that wants to try it to make that their profession, to go ahead and try it. And if you had even a question, not even about getting into the show, to talk to people like you that host podcasts that have a more of an understanding of both sides. Talk to people like me, show promoters, and get yourself out there, because we can all walk to a big box store. We can all use what I call the tool, which is a cell phone. But these are suggestions. We need to make them an action. We need to make you be a successful artisan at the show, and we need to have the customers to understand that this just is not going walking across the street, buying it, coming home and using it. This is captivating a part of somebody. So I encourage all the artisans out there, anybody listening, to take the leap of faith. Think outside of the box and go for it.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate you spending your time with us. And we'll be doing a little promoting of the show through our podcast. And so stay tuned for that as you see your social medias.
Great. Thanks so much, Bob. What a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you.